So as you know, we often try to have someone come up here and tell their Jesus story, the story of what God has done in their life. And this morning, I'm very honored to have my good friend, Jim Harrison, up here. We've been talking about his story, he and I, for quite a few months now. And now, seeing that it's Veterans Day in just a couple days, I felt like it was the right time for him to give his story. So, Jim, thank you for being willing to share your story. I think we should start with, I got a microphone right here for you. Why don't you tell us, you want to read from Psalms first?
Yes.
Okay.
Psalms 90, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were formed or brought forth, wherever thou didst form the earth and the world, and even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turns man to destruction. I'm not seeing very well. Hold that. Thou turn man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For a thousand years in thy sight is but yesterday, when it is past, and as the watch in the night. Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are like sheep in the morning. They are all like grass, which groweth up. And in the evening it is cut down. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins are in thy light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. But the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet there is strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth thine anger, or the power of thine anger, according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it be repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, O Lord, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. The work of our hands establish thou it.
You know, he read that, but I've heard him quote it quite a few times.
Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands. The work of our hands, establish thou it.
Amen. So, Jim, as we start talking about your story, why don't you start by telling us about your parents' conversion experience?
Okay, my parents were not Christians when I was born in 1932. And so we went to a little church called Pilgrim Holiness. And we attended there from the time that they became believers. And I had an aunt and uncle who attended there regularly, and they were having revival meetings. You know what those are, don't you? And so my brother and I were put in back of the Model T coupe with the rumble seat. You don't even know what that is, do you? And they closed up the hatch because it was raining. So we rode 5 miles in the rumble seat undercover to the church to hear this minister preach the gospel about Jesus Christ. And my parents, as far as I knew, never had any interest in salvation. But when they gave the altar call, they were the first ones to go down and kneel at the altar to receive Jesus Christ. Our home changed. My dad became more kind and softer in speech. Before that day, he drank a little, said a few naughty words, but it was real. And one reason I knew it was real, because the relatives quit coming to the house, and we quit going there. And even on reunions, we wouldn't go because they served alcohol. And
now you almost, now, if I understand the story right, you almost met Jesus that first night, didn't you?
Yes.
Hey, Ron, could you get a tissue right behind you? Tell us about almost meeting Jesus that night.
Well, we were about 4 miles from the railroad crossing on the way home. And it was a straight drive. And there were no cross arms.
You know, like this.
And no active signals. And you could hear the train coming, blowing its whistle, but it was moving pretty fast. And my dad drove up to the crossing, and he started to proceed. And the angel of the Lord prevented us. And he pulled up a little closer, and the train went blowing through. And I assured my father that his experience was real.
Now, a little while later, you had a hunting buddy, and you guys went out hunting. You want to tell that story?
I can do that. His sister is in the congregation this morning.
Oh, really?
Right there, the little redhead. And until I got out of the military, I did not pursue her to be my wife. She'd gone off to Bible school, and I did what boys do, hunt and fish and get in trouble. And so I invited my future brother-in-law to go with us on a hunting trip. And he and I slept in the same trailer together, and in wee hours of the night, we talked. Guess what we talked about? Not hunting and fishing. What'd you say?
He said women.
I don't think so. We talked about when we were going to get saved. When? When we were going to yield our life to the Lord. We talked about that we wanted to. It was part of their plans, both of us. The following revival I just talked about, No, it was another one. It was later. I was about 10 or 12 years old when this happened. And there's some little more history in there, and I'll tell you about it right now. I'm collecting my thoughts.
So you and he went hunting and talked about becoming Christians.
That's correct.
But at that point, neither one of you had trusted Christ.
That's right. So I was playing basketball, and I was on first string, and we were in the tournaments. And I knew my mother was going to bug me, ask me to go to the revival meeting. And I thought I was pretty slick. I said to her, "Mother, if you don't say a word to me about revival meeting and we lose the tournament before Friday, I'll go Friday night." You don't think God isn't smart? My future brother-in-law didn't go, but I went. And that was so dramatic. I shouted the church down. You don't know what that is? You ought to try it. It was a release from the burden of sin, the pressure of sin. And so everywhere I went, people says, "Well, something happened to you. We know it did. What was it? Did you get saved?" And they knew.
Yep. So tell us about this guy up on the screen here.
Well, of course, I went in the military in 1953. I was 21 then, and we got several items on that guy I'd like to tell you about. He got hit in the head with a crane block. You see the crane block? Or headache ball, that's called a headache ball. And it's serious business. And when it comes down, there's no brakes on it. So, that's not the same crane, but we improvised. But it's close. And we had, I'll tell you about our inventory in our storage area. We had tank engines, all our artillery guns or barrels. We didn't have any ammunition or dynamite. We left that someplace else. It was safer that way. And so they were going to load my truck with tank track or tank engines. And that was about 1,000 pounds each. And they were in big boxes. And they put clams. They made hooks that had, when they tightened up, pull right into the box.
Here, I'll hold this for you. All then right. You can just speak.
Okay, I can.
You can use your hands to talk.
Anyway, the clams come in like this, and they were on chains. And when they put the tension on it, it pulled the box up, and the engine as well. So it was raining, not cats and dogs, might as well have been. Coming down hard. And this particular crane that we were operating had a cable system. They didn't have hydraulics. And as they pulled on the levers, it tightened up the bands on the cable and pulled it up. But because it was wet, everything slipped. Even when it was traversing, it went and it come by me, and it either went through my, I know it went through the cab of my truck. Hit me back there, I still can feel it. Not the headache ball. But it knocked me out for about 3 seconds. And I jumped out of the truck and started wandering through to where the dispatcher's house was. And so several of my buddies come over and grab me. And do anybody knows what the name MASH means? Yes, that's where they took me. And was about 3 to 5 miles to the hospital. I got there and they put me on the table, looked me all over and took x-rays. And he said, well, you're not going home tonight. Next thing I knew, the doctors come in and saw me and they give me their opinion. And lo and behold, they said, well, you're all right. You can go home. And I had a little cut about that long, and they put butterflies on it. Do you know what butterfly is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I'm talking intelligently now.
Yep. So that whole great big ball came smashing right through the cab of your truck and smashed the steering column.
That's right.
Right? With you sitting there.
Yes.
And you got a little scratch on the back of your head with a couple butterfly band-aids.
Yeah. What I did when it hit me, I pitched forward and a block or ball went right past me.
Sounds like you had somebody riding with you that day.
That's right. In fact, there were 7 guys in my tent, squad tent. And one of them, his name was L.C. May. He was from Alabama. And he talked just like that. And he looked at me and he said, Harris, my name's Harrison. He said, Harris, I didn't worry about you at all. You had the right man on board.
Amen. Amen.
I never had any bad effects from all that injury.
And that wasn't your only close call in career, was it?
Nope. Well, I was up on top of a tower that I was moving, taking the metal off, and I had a crowbar, and I was swinging it back and forth. It's sort of like syncopated swings. Well, I wasn't watching too close, and I come by one time, and it bit me right there. You can see the scar right there. I got down off the tower and went over to the medic and whatever. Then I think I had another incident.
Firefighting one?
A hot time in the old town.
That's right.
I was, because of my abilities as a mechanic, he didn't let me keep my MOS number. He took it, they actually give me the company mechanic, repairman, all that. And we did a lot of midnight requisitions. You ever hear of midnight requisition? At the government's expense, of course. And so we had a warrant officer, and he was getting ready to go to Japan on R&R. And he was ready to make points with the old man. Anybody know who the old man is? Tell me. There you go. And so he said to me, he was on duty that day, and he said, Harrison, I want you to cut that tank that's above the ceiling out of there. It was above a sheet metal roof on a rafter, and it was about 5 foot long, 16 inches square on the end, and it was open on the top. And he wanted me to take an oxygen acetylene torch to cut that out.
on the inside of the
attic. And I said, sir, I don't think it's a good idea. And he said, well, why can't you do it, Harrison? I'll tell you again. And so he kept yelling at me, and, or not yelling, but he was tanked. Everybody know what that means?
It doesn't mean he was driving a tank.
No.
No.
It was had alcohol in it, though. So I said, sir, if you give me a direct order to do it, I will do it. And he says, will you do it? Heard what I said, a direct order, not secondhand. He finally said, okay, do it. So I crawled up. I had to get up in the attic, light up the torch, and there was a little, about that much water in the tank. And I shot just above that with the slag. And when it hit the water, it blew out of the tank and into all this foam paper. Anybody seen foam paper before? It's usually brown. They have it in instruments, a round instrument. Well, what do you think when you light a match? Things burn.
Mm-hmm.
Within 10 or 15 minutes, that room was engulfed in fire. I was trying to put it out with a CTC. Anybody know what that is? Carbon tetrachloride. It's a retardant. And so it was getting kind of hot in that room.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Yes. And I left. And so this officer, he was a little tricky. And the Koreans were outside. The Koreans were our, National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And they work in the kitchen. They worked outside. And the trailer with the oxygen acetylene was on was too close. So the CIA and the FBI appeared. And they wanted to know who done what. I said, I did it. And so
that made a problem for your
buddy.
Yeah, the one who had given you the direct order.
That's right.
Because he wanted to tell somebody else, or tell him somebody else did it, right?
Yeah, but the Koreans had done it. And I said, won't happen. So anyway, this building was probably as big as this area here, only divided up into a kitchen, sleeping quarters, and recreation hall. And part of it was screened in. And so within an hour, that building was burned flat. There was just a smoldering. And it happened just like I said it would, you know.
Right.
Then, because I told the people who'd done it and how it happened, they said, well, we'll have to question you about it and what, tell your story. And that's what happened.
So you followed the order that you were told to do. When you did it, exactly what you thought was going to happen happened.
That's right.
And then you held your integrity by telling the story exactly the way that it had happened.
To about four different people.
And then they made you volunteer fire chief after that.
That's right. We got it.
Anyway, anyway, when you got back to the States, Jeremiah, could you, there we go. Oops. You, married this lovely young lady over here.
I sure did.
And You knew about her father, right?
Yes.
He was a tough guy.
He was. Charlie Wallace. Everybody knew Charlie Wallace, especially when he was the foreman on a job. And I got in trouble a few times with him. Not after we were married, before.
Yeah. And now you've been married for how long?
57 years.
She tells that it's 58. What do you think about that?
She can keep that. We don't fight over those things. Just over food.
Just... And did you want to do that song, or did you want to say something to everybody first?
No, I'll do the song.
Okay.
Often my heart longed to pray. Sinner, so what could I say? Then I was told of the blood-cleansing way opened by Jesus my Lord. I found the way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God. There, by his power over sin, I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have. All that he purchased for me. Righteousness now I have found. Calvary's cleansings abound. Taking this blood way, I'm on solid ground. Ground of Christ's merits alone. I found the way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God. There, by his power over sin, I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that he purchased for me. Asking I now may receive, seeking I know he'll relieve. Knocking I get, for I take and believe. Jesus is praying for me. I found the way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God. There, by his power over sin, I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have. All that he purchased for me.
Gotta get my windshield wiper.
I told my children, don't be afraid to show your tears. If it touches your heart, it touches others. This song, my beloved suggested to me for a missionary speaker. The path that I have trod has brought me nearer God, though oft it lead through sorrow's gates, though not the way I choose. In mine way I might lose the joy that yet for me awaits. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me. 'Tis better far, I know. So let him bid me go or stay. Submission to the will of him who guides me still is surety of his love revealed. My soul shall rise above this world in which I move. I conquer only where I yield, not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me. 'Tis better far, I know. So let him bid me go or stay.
It's real.
It's real. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Forget not all his benefits, who daily loadeth thee with good things, so that the youth is renewed like the eagle. Ye shall run and not weary, ye shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. And one thing I've learned through all my experience, don't get impatient with God. When you're learning a new job, a new trade, working for a new employer, be patient, therefore, brethren, because this really isn't a trial, it's a training session. I thank you.